One of the more embarrassing RPG games that I played as a kid is actually called Sim Girls. On the site Newgrounds.com, like, I was not able to watch full-blown porn when I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13. And so on the site Newgrounds, you could play sort of these sort of sexual style games. And one of them was Sim Girls. It's actually a super degenerate game where you level up your stats and then you try to date these different girls, and the hotter girl, you have a more difficult time accessing. So you need to level up your stats, which are charisma, strength, and intelligence, I believe. And you have to like level up these stats in order to basically win the girl. And the more you level it up, like if you interact with her a certain number of times or you give her a teddy bear, Thomas, I really hope you don't put in the visuals of this game. That game and really the life lesson that it taught me was pretty profound. So many areas of our lives have these hidden stats all around them. They have like these skills, these skill trees that we either work on or neglect. And life is actually one long list of skill trees that we work on so that we can achieve more and more quests. And so in this video, I want to talk about four big ideas, basically how to max out your stats in this game called Life. So the first idea is that of strategy versus tactics. Tactics is knowing what to do when there's something to do. Strategy is knowing what to do when there is nothing to do. So the biggest component of you becoming a millionaire, dating the person of your dreams, achieving the body you want, it actually comes down to some combination of tactics and strategy. And actually the place to start with is tactics, because tactics is all of the stuff that you know how to do. It's very powerful to have something in life that one, you are able to do and you know how to do and you fully can do it. That's kind of a rare thing. When it comes to achieving many of our goals, they're complicated. And so much that you could pursue is an unknowable experiment. And so you should in fact show a lot of gratitude for the stuff that is obvious to you, that is fully correct and you know how to do. We might think, yeah, of course, I know how to do something, so why would I not be doing it? But there's so many things in life that are optimal, that are good, that you should be doing, that you're just not. In fact, if you were simply to make a list of all the tweaks you could be making to your day, all the adjustments you could be making, so that your tactic score is 100 out of 100, you would be surprised by what has been missing. I made this list. I know I should sleep on time. I know I should follow my calendar. I know I should do with the work that is in front of me. I know I should meditate. I know I should break up my day. What works well for me is deep work in the morning and managerial work in the afternoon. Tactics don't cost me anything except my attention. Now, I would say my tactic score, if I had to give myself one, is around 80, maybe 90 out of 100. I'm actually pretty on top of my game. But one tactic that I was not doing was drinking water first thing in the morning. This is a very small adjustment, but I've known it's a good thing to do, right? Wake up, your body's kind of depleted of water, you should hydrate. I started drinking water first thing in the morning. Super simple, but it made a difference in my performance in the gym the day I started implementing it. And as obvious as that one might be for you, if you simply optimize the tactics in your life, you will make more money. You'll work up to a promotion, increase your income by like 30% a year probably, and you'll be happy. When you do all the stuff you should do on a given day, you basically live as well as you can with the knowledge that you currently have. That itself is a source of tremendous security and joy. What it tells your brain is like, you know what? I might be a fucking idiot, stupid as I am. At least out of the obvious stuff that I know how to do, at least I did that stuff. Now, if I'm still broke, if I'm still unsuccessful, if I still can't achieve my dreams, that's fine. But that's all a result of the stuff that I don't know how to do. So at least for the stuff that is obvious, I know how to live within the confines of experience I have so far. I have lived as well as possible. That's tactics. Now, strategy is much more difficult, and it is what is required to really achieve the goals that are outside of your current amount of imagination. Strategy is all the stuff that you are not even aware of. Strategy is like a black hole. It's like some unknowable thing that you don't know how to implement. And so since you don't know what to do, do cool shit, okay? That is the most useful mantra I could give you when it comes to implementing new strategies, learning new ways to live that could make you more effective. Do cool shit, okay? Figure out stuff that could potentially be dope for whatever you're working on, and then just do it. It might bring you to a place where you're like, why am I doing this? That's fine. Once you've mastered your tactics, your life needs to have a certain amount of experimentation so that you can discover new frontiers and act upon them. So strategies could be reading books, hiring mentors and coaches, looking at people who are more successful than you, people who have what you want, and like trying to study them, a really, really interesting way to increase your strategy score in life is to simply journal. In fact, I tell all of my coaching clients this: if they're ever stuck making a YouTube video or in any aspect of their life, they should start this exercise of asking themselves one useful question, like one question that they are curious to answer that day, and then answering it. Okay, the question could be, how can I flex on the haters harder? The question could be, how can I make an extra $50 today? Whatever it might be, how can I become more stylish? What would it take to become good with women? Whatever it might be, you can ask yourself a new question and then pretend you know the answer. Pretend you know the answer to that question and start journaling as if you are an authority on the subject that you actually might not be an authority on. Simply pretending to know the answer actually increases your strategy score in life. And then the last idea, which I think is delightful, so important, sometimes hard to get yourself to do, but it's very, very powerful, is to schedule in adventure. You need to schedule in a little bit of uncertainty and adventure, and you have to force yourself to do it, okay? I can't believe I'm saying this, but travel, go to a new city, explore something new, go to a new bookstore, go to a new coffee shop, go to new places, talk to new people, do something that might not 100% make sense on paper. It might not necessarily increase your efficiency. In fact, the defining attribute of strategy exploration is that it is inefficient. Tactics are fully efficient. When you do what you know you should do, your efficiency in life goes through the roof. But the truth is, when you try a new strategy, you know, you take that writing workshop or you go talk to some girl at a bookstore, it creates inefficiency. You don't know if you're going to get a return on investment from that new action, but that's the nature of strategy. And in fact, I would invite you at some point, maybe pause this video or maybe after, actually do a journaling session. What is your tactic score? Like, what is your score on how tactical you are in life? How much of the stuff that you know how to do are you actually doing? And then what's your strategy score? How good are you at leaving room for learning, exploration, implementation, experimentation? How much room are you leaving for that? Because these things, they must be scheduled in. The second idea is the skill tree RPG. Now, this very strongly builds off the previous idea, especially on strategy. Make a list of 20 skills that you could acquire over the next few years. Ask yourself what skills would be useful to learn over the next 2-3 years that you could get to proficiency to. And it could be genuinely anything. You can expand the terrain of what you think might be called skill. For instance, if you're tired all the time, it could be a skill to learn how to manage your energy better. But I made a list of my own on things that would be interesting for me to like master the next few years. Literally me just trying to come up with anything that I possibly could do to increase my skills. And those were lighting a set and filming visuals at the quality level of Danny Gewurz. I love great lighting and I'm really inspired by like the lighting and the cinematography decisions of people like Michael Mann, who often leave the grain in the film. And so I want to learn how to light better. Outreach to big brands to get the same results as this other YouTuber, Justin Say. My skydiving license, a pilot's license, learning how to make 5 new meals. I think that could be interesting, especially if they're healthy meals that could get me better progress in the gym. Knowledge around real estate, especially how to buy a nice new flat in like the North Loop. That would be interesting. I don't know anything about real estate. Learning how to swim. It's true. I don't know how to swim. Learning how to sail. Learning how to make great graphic cards, learning how to be a better leader, how to communicate better. I made this whole long list of things, taking a writing workshop, learning to rock climb well enough to do like a, I actually don't know what would be feasible with 20 to 100 hours, but maybe a V3 or a V4, or at least to be good enough to do like a belayed climb at Taylor Falls. Even learning how to make a campfire made my list. Now, some might roll their eyes and wonder, like, if I want to maybe be a millionaire or if I want, you know, more success in this one specific domain of life, what does building a fire, learning how to build a fire, what does that have to do with it? What does learning how to play the piano have to do with anything? And it's a very fair question to ask, but I can't even fully tell you why this is. When you learn new skills, regardless of what they are, and you learn them to a level of like complete proficiency, like you go from not being able to do a thing to fully being able to do the thing just a little bit, it just makes you luckier. It just makes you like more effective in life. It shouldn't be like this. Like, you should ideally learn the stuff that is only related to the goal you're pursuing. You know, you want to get a job at Amazon as a coder, you know, learn the programming language, learn how to interview better, learn your soft skills around these programming interviews. But learning how to build a campfire will make you do better in that interview, because some dude in Silicon Valley loves to go camping, and he just might be the recruiter at Amazon who's deciding between hiring two different candidates. And then when you talk about, oh yeah, I took this wilderness course and I learned how to build fires, he's gonna start liking you. He's gonna think, wow, what an interesting dude. Like, he can build a fire. I love camping. I'm like an outdoorsy guy with a hatchet. This is awesome. I'd rather have this guy be the person who's in my mix, not the other guy. And so any skill you learn, it has been invariably true in my life. And I've learned some skills that one might consider like totally hobbies, like not related to success in life at all. And they have made my life better. They have connected me with new people. They've just made me come across as more interesting. They helped me tell a better story. And as a result, they tangentially have allowed me to progress in the things that I really care about. And then after you make this list of 20 skills, ask yourself, what are the lowest hanging fruit related to these skills? Like, what is the skills that you definitively could learn in the next 2 to 3 months that you fully could learn? And so the ones that I'm working on are lighting like Danny Kavertz. I love him. I'm super inspired by him. Outreach to big brands. One of the people on our team, we're fully just learning outreach with him. And then skydiving. I'm getting my skydiving license. I don't give a fuck. I'm doing it. That's it. Principle 3, make a list of things you could measure. This is a defining attribute of what makes video games so damn fun, so damn compelling, is the fact that progress is so definitively measurable. I came to realize a lot of people who get great results in life, they actually gamify life to a degree, either deliberately or inadvertently, so that they also have things they measure and they try to make it as apparent to themselves as possible. For instance, when I was too fat and I wanted to get leaner, one thing I just started doing was tracking my weight every day. And simply by the fact that I started tracking, like I wasn't even maybe deliberately trying to change my calorie intake. I wasn't trying to up my cardio at first. I was literally getting on the scale every morning. Just by tracking it, the scale started to go down because I saw where I was, and my mind, we are goal-seeking mechanisms, it immediately knew where the target was. So in subtle ways, I just found myself starting to eat a little less, move a little more, drink some more water. And as a result, the scale started to go down. And as I continued to track that, it gave me all this emotional momentum to achieve that target. So I actually can't tell you definitively what would be relevant to you right now, because based on your own goals and what you're working on, based on your strategy score and tactic score, the things you should measure, they'll be different from mine, but I can tell you what has made the greatest impact on my results and what I work on. So one is sleep score. In fact, if there was a single metric that I pay attention to more than any other that has an effect on my productivity and happiness and everything, it's sleep. It's really annoying that sleep is so important, but if you're a human being, there's probably a good chance that maximizing your sleep score will have like one of the highest return on energy in your life, just because, damn, we're biological creatures. We need our recovery. The other one is meditation minutes. The more minutes I meditate, up to around 60 minutes, just the better I become at life. And that's just definitively true. I also think it's annoying. You know, it'd be nice to not sleep and not meditate. And it'd be nice to just do cocaine and like make more YouTube videos all the time and like fly an FPV drone through the dunes of Arabia while I'm like having a dirt bike. But unfortunately, like the maintenance aspect of things, they're important. You know, you got to sharpen the saw. So sleep and meditation, two very definitive attributes that give me results in life that I've started tracking on this platform called Airtable. Wonderful social time minutes. I realize a lot of my happiness comes down to the people I hang out with. And really my favorite people to spend time with are my colleagues, like the people I work with. I think we all have the same love for progress and artistry. For instance, when I was a teacher and I would just hang out with the other teachers, I tried to tell myself back in those days, like, look, I'm a human being. It's a Friday night in Los Angeles. I should be at the bar because it'd be weird to be at home alone. So I'm going to be socializing at the bar so that I am a part of society and I'm living my life. But it actually didn't feel like living, because unless I was working on something, like working on something creative, it just didn't speak to me. It just felt like I was standing around at a bar. The difference now is that when I hang out with my team members or hang out with someone I'm seeing more seriously, even visiting my parents at this point, it is so meaningful and it is a deep source of happiness for me and motivation. You know, my team members, my family, they are the people who motivate me to kind of like go hard in life. And that's probably been a big change of mine in personality within the last 2 years, but it's something I track actually, because I am a bit of a workaholic. And so if I don't treat that as a metric worth tracking, I call this wonderful social time minutes, minutes spent in wonderful social time, then it doesn't get done. And then there are a few other metrics. I won't go into them, but they're more like actual KPIs related to my business. So definitively, make a list of things you could measure. I would say four to five things is all you need. And these are things that if you simply pay attention to them, your metrics will go up. It actually is one of the most definitive ways to gamify your life. It's at this point that I want to take a quick pause to talk about the Captain Sinbad YouTube coaching mastermind. The thing is, I love YouTube and I love story-driven YouTube especially. And I didn't realize how much goes into this craft. It almost encompasses your whole life. You know, to be a good YouTuber, you need to learn how to script well. You need to learn how to reflect on your own experiences and transmute those into lessons worth talking about. You even need to chase new experiences. As something I tell people all the time, in order to make progress with their videos and keep them potent, they need to actually focus on living an effective life. And it's an ever-changing platform. And there's different mediums to success in it. You could make video essays, you could do vlogs, you could make A-roll videos to camera. But you need to be able to tap into this authentic delivery, this authentic connection to yourself. And so it's almost like, in a weird way, it has turned into a bit of like life coaching. But the potency of the program comes from helping people tap into who they actually are, turn that into videos that speak to them, speak to their own message in life, and then very potently, like, turn what they learn into a business, turn their channel into a business. In fact, a second half of the mastermind is run by my business partner, who is like a business back-end genius, Manoj. So many people who have worked with him on his end of the calls, they've seen like incredible progress in their business. Even with the same YouTube views that they've been getting all along, they're able to monetize ethically and more effectively, like to increase their revenue by like 2 times, 5 times, sometimes even 10 times their current revenue. And then when they work with me, we work very intensely to just help increase views. Really, the starting point of the program is to help someone realize what it even takes to be an effective YouTuber. Like, what are the rules of the game? It's something that I'm always studying while still pursuing my main goals in life. And I gotta say, I love YouTube more than ever. And I'm really, really committed to making story-driven YouTube happen and sharing my journey along the actual things I'm pursuing, sharing them in my videos in between as I go about it. It's like the perfect visual log of the great chase of life. So if growing on YouTube and getting to 100,000 subscribers and beyond is something that sounds intriguing to you, especially if you just want to build a personal brand and build a business on the back end of your personal brand, I would love to talk to you. There's an application form in the description box. You can learn more about what the program is and we can see if you're a good fit. That being said, let's get on with the rest of the video. The final point I want to talk about here is 20 tweaks. What are 20 tweaks I could make right now to see an improvement from what I do? I wanted to end the video with this principle, just to take everything that's been said and turn it into something immediate. What are 20 tweaks you could make to your life right now that would help bring your tactical score up to 100 and help you leave more room to work on strategy, to work on that sense of adventure and expansion, and help you explore the unknown that'll get you closer to what you really want? I can share some of the things I've implemented. One is no phone in my bedroom at night, a gallon of water next to me each time when I sleep at night, canceling my Netflix subscription. I realize if I want to watch a movie, I just Amazon it, I just buy it, or I never watch Netflix anymore. Making a list of 100 movies and TV shows worth watching so that I have them ready in advance and I can like consume more inspired cinema. I recently just rewatched The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, and that movie is one of the most visually stunning films I've ever seen. It makes me want to like pick up a vintage camera and like shoot with like these blurred out lenses. It's incredible. And then I created a whole list of things that I could do around my shoots and what I could do in my adventure days. It's really amazing. You know, I'm someone who constantly thinks about how to live life more effectively. And yet when I went back and I thought about what is my tactic score in life, I realized I wasn't even optimized. I wasn't even at 100, because if you don't think about these things, if you don't measure certain metrics, they don't show up. But the beauty of this exercise and the beauty of this paradigm by which to see the world, when you choose to see life as the sort of game that it is, this sort of really fun video game, and you learn how to manage the appropriate metrics, even artificially, you give yourself a score on strategy, tactics, the different skills you want to learn, the world unfolds to you. And you know, eventually you find that you could be dating the hottest girl in Sim Girls. And for those of us who are willing to gamify life and max out those skill trees, to us I say, greatness is coming. We'll catch you next time.